Oh God! Well, hello there.
Coronavirus.
It's getting real. Real. It's getting fucking real. Hi.
Yo! It is a little too real.
It's terrifying. What's up? Hello, everybody.
Yo, let's start off on a good note. Like, how is everybody doing? I hope everybody out there that's listening right now is having a good day. They're having a good quarantine. Just relaxing, taking it.
Outside my window, the tree is starting to have red flowers. So I know that we're officially in spring. The flowers are blooming. We can't go outside to see them, but they're there.
Oh, no. I've been outside. I stay going outside. Mm-mm. I just don't interact with people, but ain't nobody stopping me from enjoying Mother Nature.
I just, like, I live in a building that's, like, there's a lot of older people. So, you know, I don't want to come across or, like, have someone who's, like, more sensitive than others. Like, when it comes to being contagious and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, one person gets in this building, everyone's getting it, so... Let's avoid.
Carla's like, I am not.
I'm like, let's avoid problems.
Luckily, none of my neighbors. I guess everybody's scared. Nobody comes outside. So
you're that one asshole.
I'm straight. Cool. So I'm like the one neighbor that's outside, like enjoying nature on his computer, listening to music, also like painting and drawing on the side, and just like living life to the max.
I hate you. I am.
I'd be out hiking.
I don't think I realized what an extrovert and how much I enjoyed people's company until this happened, and now I feel like I'm in prison. Like, I genuinely,
you know what's crazy?
Like, I'm locked up. I'm in prison. Please get me out of here. Like, I'm gonna have panic attack. Like, I'm so freaking tired of being indoors. Like, yeah, ya estoy harta, sáquenme de aquí, ya. It's enough is enough. I've had enough. I can't take it anymore.
Somebody save Carla.
Please do. Please, I beg someone.
Damn, Carla, I had no idea that that's how you felt.
Yeah. I need to see people. But, like, I also don't want to be an asshole and pretend that this isn't happening, because... even if it doesn't affect me directly, I'm gonna like spread it around. So, word of advice, everybody stay home even if you don't want to. If I can do it, y'all can do it.
Basically, no lie, yo. It's, you're better safe than sorry. Like, you just don't risk it.
No. But let's change the topic, because I'm tired of every time I turn on the TV, coronavirus. The only good thing that's come out of this is that one song by Cardi B.
You are not lying.
Coronavirus.
Oh, no.
Hey, it's getting real.
Hey,
I've been screaming to that song, like, what's popping? Like, it's great. I love it. That DJ needs to get more props.
Well, I believe his name is I Marquee Beats. Something like that. All right.
January.
Slight technical difficulties, guys. Sorry about that.
Richardo, what did I say January? I said
you said January, and then it glitched out.
What did I say January? That 2019 sucked.
Oh, you're talking about the podcast. Yeah, what no, that episode is crazy. 2019 is literally a fucking blood-sucking vampire. It's a demon.
No, because, like, we're 2020 now, so, like, I thought that was bad, but we're worse. So, the episode 2019, I said, damn, 2019 sucked. Huh, 2020 is our year. Didn't I say that?
Nah, but 2020 started off great. That's the crazy part.
No, it didn't. Then our February, you see, this is how I know you don't pay attention. Ladies.
No. Listen. You know, let me explain. So the first week of 2020 was fire for me.
For you, not and for then, me.
And then once we tripled.
For the rest of the world, we were starting to have Corona in January. So our February episode, I said, ha ha, You know how I was talking shit about 2019? It sounds like 2020 heard me. And then we had the forest fires and the earthquakes. Kobe passed away.
And then
Corona was starting. And everything kind of went to shit.
No, I know. I remember the conversation.
So now it's March. I have to laugh because, you know, now it's March. We're noticing a trend here where every time I complain about the previous month, it just gets worse.
Yup. It's almost like it can hear you and it's like, oh, wait, you think I can't get any worse?
It is. I think it is hearing me. I don't know if it's the government, like my FBI, like agent that's listening in the computer or something.
I think you're hacked, dude. They're fucking with you.
But what I was gonna say is, y'all remember those jokes I was making in February? Ha ha ha, ha ha ha.
You're not making jokes now.
Ha ha ha. March is a fucking shitty month.
And from the looks of it, April is gonna get a little bit worse.
I don't know what's happening in the world right now. I don't understand. I don't understand.
Yo, from the economy dropping to the Federal Reserve printing fake money now.
To me losing my job. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there it is. Yup. Damn, girl. How do you feel?
I'm mad. I'm mad because this is a virus. If y'all stayed home, I'd have a job. Thanks.
But it's crazy though, because like your job. Like the listeners probably don't know, but Carla creates like content for social media. So you'd think your job would be safe because you don't have to really meet with people physically.
I thought I was safe too, but it's the whole thing about the corona. It's gonna have like really long term effects on finances, because any accommodations that companies have to make now. Next month, they're going to have to find somewhere to make that money back. Which means if you're a part-time employee, blah, blah, blah. There's predictions that, like, unemployment's going to grow up to 30%. So a lot of people are losing their jobs.
Oh, no, I think it's already at 30+.
You think so? I'm not sure.
Oh, no, definitely. Definitely. The numbers have, like, quadrupled since the last time I heard.
Damn, Daniel, that's not good.
I know. It's like I'm grateful that I have a job, and I'm also grateful that I've learned how to make money on the side.
Oh no, y'all, he doesn't shut up about it. He doesn't let me live in peace.
No, all right. So I'm not gonna like plug in what I do, but. It's not like trading stocks. We're trading currency. So even though our companies are all going down, I'm able to make money and like capitalize on the fact that they're going down because I'm able to sell at a small percentage and make large gains. It's crazy.
We get it, Joshua. You have money. Fuck you.
No, literally the other day I started off with $20 just as a joke and I bought into platinum because metals were rising. And I made like $60 in like 2 hours, and I didn't look at my phone once.
Well, fuck you too.
So I'm just saying, all my people out there, if you guys are curious, holla at me at PDSGNCO, and I can put you on and teach you how to make money from your phone.
So the point of this is, I think I'm gonna start shutting up now. I think I'm done complaining. I think I don't want to keep calling on this bad juju.
No. Are you sure you don't want to keep poking the bear? Like, keep poking it. Let's see how far it goes.
You know, every month has sucked, but, like, if it gets worse from where we are right now, I'm just going to be like, you know, this month people are losing their jobs. People are dying. People are panicking over toilet paper and hand sanitizer.
Bro, let's talk about it.
I was supposed to do groceries around the week of what was it? Spring break, that's what it was. Which is when all of this kind of came out. And so I was due to buy, like doing groceries because my kitchen was empty. And so I've been trying not to panic because obviously when you panic, everything goes to shit. I go to the
Exactly.
supermarket on Monday. Half of the water is gone for no reason. So I was like, okay.
When you sent me that video, I was in shock.
Okay. There were
It
still
was
boxes though, and they were like the price were like doubled. But I was
That's
like,
what's
I'm
up.
gonna buy 2 boxes of water because I'd rather like I have to buy me and like I wasn't prepping for Corona. I was just like doing my regular groceries. And I come back the next day because I think I forgot to buy, was it bread or eggs? Like something that basic. It was like, oh, we forgot eggs. I came in, there was no water. And it's been already 2 weeks. I have not seen a roll of toilet paper in that supermarket. And the
Yo,
supermarket is only open 3 days a week now.
that
So
is
it's
crazy. Yeah,
scary.
because we have to ration the food down because it's getting harder for us to get food in, and everything's a lot more
And
difficult.
toilet paper.
Crazy.
Corona doesn't give you the shits. It doesn't. I don't
Yo,
understand.
that's no, think about it. That makes sense. So people are buying so much food that they know they're gonna be on the toilet all day. It's like, all right, you're just gonna be there eating all day. That's all you're gonna do, right?
I'm just like like I'm just I've yeah.
That's the funniest shit in the world, though. That's never like people just go into these crazy ass doomsday scenarios and they start hoarding everything.
They do. There's and I understand that a lot of us are scared. We just have to like work it out,
I understand being
budget.
scared, but yo, some of this stuff is really like irrational fear.
It is. So from now I have decided that I'm gonna shut up now and I'm gonna stop complaining about
About the
every
world,
month
yeah.
because oh, but you know what? I saw some posts on Facebook that were like, I blame the people that were making the broom stand up. Y'all brought this
Oh,
back to you and everyone. Saw
talk
some
about it.
stuff. So you'll know how that trend of like making the umbrella stand up. Ha ha ha.
Yep.
This is y'all fault somehow.
Talk
Y'all
about
woke
it.
up from demon or some shit.
Talk about
Something
it, y'all.
funky.
Bad juju. That's why I never played around with the brooms.
I didn't play with the brooms. So I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, Carla ain't play with the brooms. I ain't play with the
I'm just
brooms.
saying we've had Corona since last year, but suddenly the broom thing happened and then it just like got
Bro,
out of
it
control.
opened up a fucking portal into like the netherworld.
It had to. That's the only explanation. That's the only
Only
thing that makes
one
sense.
explanation. Like, what is
Oh,
going
God.
on right now? Yo, it sucks because it's like people are just we're just scared, man.
And like, I feel like that's the fucked up part because the more scared you are, the worse it's gonna make it. But at the
Yeah,
same time, there's a double-edged coin of like not caring enough, then like it's not gonna go away. Everyone's just gonna die.
like you definitely have to care, and obviously, guys, wash your hands, don't touch your face, you
I
know.
like how it took a pandemic for people to learn how to freaking wash their hands, but
Like, yo, I don't even like to eat out anymore. Like, it should be getting me nervous.
I think I
Like, yo, I'm low key like the DoorDash king. I love Chipotle.
Oh, well,
Dude.
everything's closed. So even if you wanted to eat out, you couldn't.
Nah, chill. Domino's Pizza's still open.
Yeah, but you can't eat at Domino's.
No, but they still deliver.
Yeah. Well,
Yo.
DoorDash is a delivery company. Who is not sponsoring, by the way, but DoorDash, what's up?
DoorDash, give me my check.
For mentioning your name.
DoorDash, if I mention your name, let me stop.
Two or 60 followers.
You imagine? Let's get it.
But yeah, so we just wanted to acknowledge the fact that it is happening. It's freaking a lot of people out. We're here. I'm gonna stop talking about it so it gets better because
Guys,
maybe I'm doing
just
something.
know that we're all a little freaked out, and here at the What the Fuck Latinx family, if you guys need somebody to talk to. definitely hit up Carla because I suck at conversation.
Damn, you're just gonna throw it at me. I see you.
Carla, you have this nurturing soul. You're very kind, and you know, I'm a dickhead. So
you're not lying, but okay. So welcome to What the Fuck Next. I'm Carla.
It's your boy Josh.
And this is the podcast where we talk about our Latin culture, our heritage, what is it that it means to be Latino, and why the heck do we do a lot of weird shit?
What the fuck is it with Dominicans in chancletas?
What the fuck is it with Dominicans? Nah, not even Dominicans. What the fuck is it with Latinos who bought all the rice and beans?
What the fuck is up with all the Latinos that bought up all the Alcanfor?
Oh, to cleanse the house, yeah.
And all the vapor rub. All the Bejron de Malagueta. All the supplies to make tea.
Nah. Mommy didn't buy stuff for tea.
I don't know if this is a Dominican thing, but my mother grew up knowing like this extensive herbal tea recipe. And there's a recipe for everything. Oh, your head hurts.
Un té de esto. I have a couple of ideas that are like crazy with that. But yeah. I don't think for the pandemic, tea was the first option, you know?
You know what? So my mom broke it down to me like this. She's like, a lot of these herbs have immune system. They boost your immune system. So she's like, mm-hmm. The best way for you to avoid getting sick is so that your immune system is always strong and on point.
On point. Well.
You feel me?
Gang. So, okay. Yeah. This is What the Fuck, and we talk about our Latin culture. So, do you want to say what our topic for this month is?
Today, we will be speaking about two very important women. We're going to be showing love for National Women Month. That is...
National Women History Month.
Women History Month. Yes. Thank you for the correction. So, mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be talking about the goddess, the queen of all queens, Celia Cruz. Carla is going
to... And I'm going to talk about... What?
Who are you going to be talking about? Do you want to tell the people?
I'm going
to
talk about the queen and goddess, the Mexican, like, I don't even know where it goes about the god. The queen of Tejano music, Selena Quintanilla. The most beautiful, beautiful soul that was lost at a young age. But her music left such an impact that to this day, you know, here we are talking about her. So just going a little more in depth about her life and the impact that they left, right?
That's beautiful. Yes.
So do you want me to go first or do you want to go first? So I'm going to talk about Selena Quintanilla, the baddest of the bad bees. The booty that drove everyone crazy before J-Lo was a thing. The queen of queens, you know? So what do you remember growing up listening to like Selena Quintanilla and stuff?
I don't know. I remember a lot of her songs, but I just remember the movie where J-Lo was her the most.
I love that. That's what you remember the most. Well, growing up, yes.
Oh, my bad. You cut off there. But now, like, the movie was definitely my first introduction into Selena. So, it's like, for some reason, in my brain, she was never dead because J-Lo was alive and J-Lo looked like Selena.
I'm dead.
Like, as a kid, that was my mentality. I'm like, oh, what you mean? Shorty's still alive. Like, isn't that her? She just changed her name from Selena to J-Lo, right?
Dang, that's such an innocent thought. That's cute. No, so my
Like,
first
that's
interaction
just.
with her, stop, shit, 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 shit. My first interaction with her was growing up on the house birthday parties. There's always that one tia who has to go along, and then they all just follow along. So then I would be running around
It's
with my
crazy because that's.
yes, speak, mister.
No, like that's the song that's played at every single like party.
To this day, like that's the karaoke, like that's where it's at. Because that's the one song that you can count that everybody knows to this day. It's 2020. And if you're Latino, like you just expect people to know that. Which is crazy because like she was born in 71 and died in 95. I was born in 97. So this woman died before I was even born, and I know all of this. And I just grew up knowing all of this, you know?
Yup.
So it's just interesting. So let's get into it. So she was known as the queen of Tejano
Let's
music.
go. That's what I'm waiting for.
And she was beloved Latin recording artist who was killed by the president of her fan club at the age of 23. So she died at my current age, which is terrifying. It's like if I just pass away now.
Bro, that's crazy.
She was so young. That's really young. And she was so successful to be so young. That's kind of mind-blowing. At
But
23, people are starting to graduate college and like hope they can find a place. Meanwhile, she was like filling stadiums and being like one of the first Latin women to do so at that extreme.
it's crazy how quickly she became like a sex icon.
Don't even get me started. She was actually really religious and hated that people sexualized her like that.
That's the crazy part is that like she was just so like she was really sexy though, without even trying. It was effortless.
But she was just being herself and people just sexualized her.
No,
Also,
of course,
like,
that's just society.
it's one of those things where it's like, damn, a girl can't wear a bra without having to be made a point of, oh, she's asking for it. But, you know, just saying, just putting it out there.
No, I know what you're saying. What you're saying. Just from like the
So,
male perspective, it's always like, oh, like yo, shorty a baddie. Growing up, that's growing
disgusting.
up, that's like part thing.
Disgusting. Ew, you. Anyways,
Whatever.
so she made her recordings debut in the 80s and was becoming an award-winning recording artist in the Latin music scene with albums like Amor Prohibido and Selena Live. So in 1995, she was murdered by the founder of her fan club, and her last album, Dreaming of You, was released in 1995. So she was born in Texas, Lake Jackson, and her father, Abraham Quintanilla, was a former musician. So he managed and produced his family's group that were named Selena and Nodinos. So you can see this influence of like Michael Jackson in the 80s and Selena. They're both of their parents made them team up with their siblings and have a band, which I think is interesting. That
Yeah, that's
they
definitely
had
cool.
different lives and like lived in different places and spoke different languages, but they were going through those experiences in the 80s. So, something
That's
to
kind of
point out.
crazy. Not a, that's No, my bad. I don't want to, because once I start talking, I'll be going on these crazy tangents.
Yeah, you have a creative brain. So she grew up
We can't
speaking
fool you.
you're so annoying. She grew up speaking English, but her father taught her to sing in Spanish so she could resonate with the Latino community. And she learned the lyrics phonetically at first, and then she learned to speak it fluently. So she learned the sounds and how to sing in Spanish, and then she actually learned the language, which I think is really interesting. Around 10 years old, she became the lead singer of her family's band, and the Selena y los Dinos started to play in weddings and clubs in native Texas. The band featured her brother Abraham on the bass guitar and her sister Suzette on the drums. She's considered the queen of Tejano because that her music incorporated other styles such as country, and Western. And she was also referred as the Mexican Madonna because of her outfits, like you were talking about. Some of them were provocative and very out there, and people were just like shocked by the things that she wore, which is kind of funny because also today, those fashions are coming back. Like those are in trendy now, like two pieces with the high waist pants.
Nah,
That's what's
yeah,
in
it's
now.
trendy as fuck right now. All of
Yeah.
that retro stuff. To think though,
Absolutely.
like low key, she was like ahead of her time back then.
Honestly, which is why I think she was so successful. So some of her albums are called Ven Conmigo, which was in the 90s, and it sold more than 500,000 copies. Live, which was her live concert in oh, it doesn't say where, but she became the first Tejano artist to bring home a Grammy for best Mexican American album. And I also want us to have in consideration the fact that this is a Spanish speaking Latina who's like going to the Hollywood American Grammys and winning
Let's talk about
against
that. That's
American
fire.
artists. So this is a woman who's doing her Nash like traditional music and winning in the billboards and in the Grammys. So it really showed how, because she was bilingual, she could reach out different groups of people and like bring them together for her music. And that's just one of the really cool and magical things about her that
It's
we should
beautiful.
definitely celebrate.
Nah, that's a fact. That's a fact. That's beautiful. She's definitely a trailblazer. Like, I don't think there's ever been anybody else to do it like her.
People try, but it's hard to reach like to her level.
Like just the cultural impact, just the feeling that you get when you listen to her music. None of that
Oh,
has ever been recreated.
so much passion. Her voice was so powerful. It's just crazy. So, her and the band pl had in 1994 an album called Amor Prohibido, which is when you start hearing those Spanish songs that like became the icons that they are today for us. And so she
The
started
hits.
touring in New York, California, Puerto Rico, and Argentina, which I want to point out New York, California, and Puerto Rico as like three of the places with more Latinos. So I just picture her in California, you know, with her people touring, and that album went gold that same year.
Chill.
And then her last album was called Dreaming of You, which was released after Live. And she was doing full English language album. So she'd done a lot of Spanish and she was shifting to US pop charts in English.
Sheesh.
It did become successful.
Of
And
course
it
it
made
did.
it
Come
to
on.
the like number one on the Billboard's top 200 in August of 95. But unfortunately, she did not live to see the success of that specific album. And so
Hello guys. We are interrupting your current programming because for some reason half of my audio just fucking disappeared out of nowhere. And it was one of the most important facts about Selena's life, which was the way that she died. So this is editing Carla inserting the information that's missing from the podcast. So something that's super important is that she was super popular, and she got Best Female Vocalist of the Year and Performer of the Year. So our comments later on about her husband is her husband's name is Chris Perez, and they met and began secretly dating in 1990 when he joined the band, that was mostly composed by the family. He was like the one different one. So he was the lead guitarist for Los Dinos. They married 3 years later, 3 years before she was killed in 1995. You can hear Josh in the background, but you guys can ignore him. So Selena was shot and killed in Corpus Christi, Texas on March 31st, 1995, and she was only 23 years old. It's a super, super widespread case that you guys can research, do your Googles a little bit later on. Her murder was crazy impactful to the Latino community. Everybody across the country mourned her, and her killer's name was Yolanda Saldivar. She was the founder of Selena's fan club, and she killed she at the moment was managing Selena's boutique in San Antonio. So Yolanda was kind of like Selena's right-hand woman. She managed fan club and funds, and if you look at the Selena movie, you can see that Selena really trusted her and depended on her a lot when it came to interaction with the fans and what are we sending to the fans and that kind of stuff. So they both met at a hotel to discuss the concerns that Selena had that Yolanda was embezzling money, according to court records. And again, it's really interesting the dynamic that these two people had, because a lot of Selena's friends and family members were trying to warn her about Yolanda, and Selena was a lot like, no, like this is someone I trust, like she wouldn't do this to me. So afterwards, Saldivar did attend the meeting with a gun. There was a shot, and she had claimed in court that it was an accident. She was sentenced to life in prison in October of 1995, Yolanda, her killer, and she is up for parole in 2025, where she will have served at least 30 years of her sentence. So it's terrifying that in 5 years, you know, that's something that is happening. So right afterwards, the reason why Selena's story is actually super impactful and a lot of people remember was her Life movie, which came out in 1997, and it's starred by Jennifer Lopez. So this movie was nominated for a Golden Globe, and I can now return you to your regular programming. Sorry about that, guys.
We keep having technical difficulties and it's driving me a little nuts. You here?
I'm here. I'm just waiting for you to start.
Yeah, so she was, and it was the first time that a Latina was nominated for a go like a Golden Globe performance. So
J-Lo.
you know J-Lo, technically, a fun fact is that she wasn't supposed to actually go for that role. Her sister, J Jennifer Lopez's sister, was being casted and she was sick. So then she was like, Jennifer, like, it took me so long to get this. Like, will you go in my place? And J-Lo went and she got selected.
That is fucking crazy.
Isn't that mind-blowing? Like, Jennifer
Is
wasn't
that
even supposed to be there. And that's one of those
wow?
things that made her career as an actress. So
I'm telling you, like that was honestly that might have been my first introduction to J-Lo and Selena
yeah.
that I can remember.
It's just so crazy. So, Chris Perez, which was Selena's husband, did make a book, To Selena with Love in 2012. And he planned to make the book into a TV series. In 2016, Abraham Quintanilla was her father, brought a lawsuit against the husband for violating an estate agreement signed shortly after her death, in which gave the father exclusive rights to the Selena name. So it's kind of fucked up that they're fighting over like making money on her name.
That is fucked up because you should just want to, if they do want to tell the story, they should tell it together, you know?
And like it's her
They shouldn't be.
husband. You know, it's not like a stranger. It's not someone that wasn't with her and didn't love her. But they also didn't get along when she was alive, so I can see how this would bring tension.
No, of course, of course, of course. That makes sense, but it's like, damn. Like at this point, you know, you guys should be wanting to tell that story as a way to empower Latina women. But instead, it's like it's fueled with greed and it's all about money.
It always goes down to money.
And it always trickles back down to you know, to money, especially this capitalistic society that we live in.
Yep.
You know the vibes.
But yeah. So yeah, so her father had exclusive rights to her name, her voice, photographs, and story. And he lost his appeal in 2018, so both sides agreed to dismiss the lawsuit. So Netflix did
Nice.
announce that they were going to de well, they were developing a script series ab about the singer's life, Selena the Series Part One, starring The Walking Dead's Christian Siratos, and was set to debut in 2020. So this year, I actually didn't know this. But this year we are to get a Selena series, so I'm excited to see if they make justice to her and to her life.
Let's see, 'cause I feel like the movie worked well. So the series, like I'm wondering what can the series tell us that the movie didn't?
Me too, especially like with the episodes and the tension. I don't know, the movie was very good at telling the story.
I feel like it was really detailed. It's like the only thing I can see them going into more is like her childhood and how, you know, and how that impacted her.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, that's a huge, because she's been singing since she was a child. She was in a band.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that's definitely the stuff that we don't know. Like we all know how she we all saw her there, you know, once she was like the megastar. But I feel like a lot of us never really get to see that process, like her growing into that megastar.
Absolutely. And so
So
just a few like little notes that I have is her popularity and her persona and her music has endured the years. She was honored in the Hollywood Walk of Fame in November 3rd of 2017. So Selena has her own Hollywood Walk of Fame star, which makes me really happy. She
took
has
them
a
long enough.
proclaimed.
I said it took them long enough.
Honestly, it took them what, almost 20 years. So there is a proclaimed Selena Day in LA by the mayor, which I think is funny. And Kim Kardashian also dressed up as the Tejano singer as a part of a homage to music legends for Halloween. So
Beautiful.
in February of last year, a Texas state representative,
Representative.
thank you. Ana Maria Ramos introduced a bill that would design April 16, Selena's birthday, as a holiday. So her birthday is a holiday in Texas. And San Diego State University also announced plans to offer a new course called Selena and Latinx Media Representation. Which,
Jeez.
where can I sign up to take this class? What? I want to, yes. How can I
No
do that?
lie, no lie. Not to make light of the situation, but you can probably take it online right now.
You know what? You know what? No.
What?
In March, so this month, of 2020, Selena became the first Latina artist and the ninth person overall to be induced into the Stars Trail of Fame outside of Houston Lifestyle Show and Rodeo. And that's all I got, but I want to give credit to biography.com for Selena's information. Just in case you guys want to come into it and read more. There's a video and a few more details about her life, and I just wanted to make the pact that I don't know if we're celebrating women, Selena is someone that as a Latinx, she was such a huge Latinx community influence that you need to know who she is, or I hope
That's a
you're
fact.
curious to know more, I guess. Yeah.
That's a fact.
It's
That's a fact.
huge.
I feel like there's so much more of her story to dive into, but we would be here all day if we did that.
We really would, though.
So that's just beautiful though. It's crazy how like, damn, it's crazy how all that unfolded, man. I can't believe she lost her life like that, especially to somebody close to her.
I think that's the part that fucks me up is the fact that that was her right hand. Like everyone was telling her, she's robbing you, and she's like, no, this woman would never do that to me. Like she's my fan and she's my friend, and that ended up being the person that betrayed her. So it's just, it pisses me off.
Yeah, like I think that's the part that like always gets to me. It's like, wow, man. It's like you really trusted this person, and it's like, fuck it. But yeah, not to end it on a negative note. She's definitely a beautiful human. We definitely, I know I
Oh,
miss her.
I have a quote from her that I think is kind of ironic. I'm not one to say this is where I want to be in 5 years because each day is different. You can plan a whole day and nothing comes out the way you plan it, which I think is very accurate to what's happening now. And just, you know,
That's a
live
fact.
your
That's a
day happy.
You definitely gotta just go day by day, really.
Absolutely.
That's a fact.
So that's my story.
That's your story. All right. My story is about. Are y'all ready for my story?
Bow. All right. So we're gonna be talking about, well, I'm gonna be talking about the infamous, no, not infamous, but the super duper famous Celia Cruz. Now, Cruz nació en Havana, Cuba, on October 21st,
Habana Unana.
1925. So it's crazy to me that she was born in that era. Like I for some reason I thought she was born later, but that's crazy. So
Nana.
I love that song. So ella creció, she grew up in the poor section of Havana, known as Santo Suarez,
Yes, she does.
where Cuba's diverse musical climate was becoming a growing influence. So there was, you know, there was a lot of beautiful Cuban artists, Cuban musicians, and just that culture was flourishing at that time.
Pauses.
You feel me? And let's start. This is where her career kind of starts to flourish. Well, not even start, but so in 1940, she wins
Well, you
a.
sound like you're reading an essay, though.
What do you mean? I'm such a
What
hater.
do
That's what
you
you.
think about that?
What do I think about what?
What you just read?
The diverse musical climate? What do you mean? What do you think about it? Because as far as I know, Cuban musicians have spread their influence all through culture, especially through Latino music. I know a lot of Puerto Rican artists grab from Cuban drummers, musicians, saxophone players.
I have more comments coming.
Nah, Lima, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's the 30s and 40s. So it's just weird to wrap my head around that stuff.
True, true. I mean, it's definitely an industry that was like ran by men, especially at that time. Like, what,
yeah, women, when I think of the 40s and the 50s, I think of like Marilyn Monroe and that black and white Hollywood and the glamour of, and like the JFK scandals and all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting to see that, how those influences or how those happenings may have influenced her music.
I wonder if they influenced her music. I wonder if that culture even made it onto to the island of Cuba. I mean, like, when you look at Cuba now, when you go there, it feels like you're stuck in a time capsule. Like, the cars, the infrastructure, the architecture.
But that has a lot to do with the government, right?
That does have to do a lot with the government. So I'm wondering if the government censored outside influences to an extent.
All of this, like, crackling noise is gonna... Yeah, I don't know.
Sure. But yeah, keep telling me.
Now, what do you think, though? Like, I'll keep going. So, in the early 1940s, Cruz won the name is so weird. It's called La Hora del Té. So, she won a singing contest called Tea Time. And that singing contest helped propel her into a music career.
Okay.
And what... One of the people that was always in her corner just championing her was her mother. She was encouraging her to always, like, yo, go to these contests, go to all the radio stations, and just sing and follow your passion. But then in the same light, you have her father, and he's, like, he's more traditional. He's more, you know, with the mindset of a Cuban man at that time, and he has plans for her of, like, yo, become a teacher. Hey, find an occupation that's, like, for a Cuban woman that's not within the entertainment realm, that's not within, you know, the nightlife and the club and the debauchery and sex and tu sabes, tu esa vaina.
Yeah, I can definitely see how, again, this, because of the time period, that housewife image that everybody kind of, like, wanted to achieve, like, that was seen as the American dream and, like, the dream in general, and how he would rather have his daughter have a husband than a career.
No, claro, that makes, like it makes sense, you know, like, for, especially for the era, 1940s, it's like women were still kind of, like, not really seen as, like, you know, ¿cómo te digo?
You distracted?
Nah, I'm trying to find the verbiage for it. I'm trying to find the right words. I don't want to say that you guys weren't important. It's just like you guys were just common housewives. At least that's what men wanted you guys to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, all right, hold up.
Mira.
You know what's a crazy fun fact that when I was doing my research that I found?
What?
So... This is funny. It was crazy because I told you she grew up poor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's legend has it. This is, like, you know, whatever somebody heard the story, but legend has it that her first pair of shoes was actually a gift from a tourist that she sang for.
From a tourist?
So because she grew up poor, so un turista fue the first person to give her a pair of shoes.
That's so cute.
That means that beforehand, ella estaba usando, like, handmade chancletas y cosas así, like, tradicionales. And another thing that I found that I thought was really cute was that she was known for singing her siblings to sleep.
Oh, that's actually
ella really cantaba lullabies, and it's cute. There's so much about her. Like, she also sang in school productions and community gatherings.
Oh. It was a huge part of her life because she was involved with as much as she could, which is cool.
And I love that her mother was always the one encouraging her.
Yeah. But I feel like we're getting sidetracked.
Oh, my bad. I just, like, those, that was, like, those are cool little, like, tidbits that I found.
That's cool. It is cool, though.
All right. Hold up. My bad. So... While she's, like, starting her career early on, I know, ¿cómo te digo? Her father kind of pushed her into joining the National Teachers College.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she didn't last long there because that wasn't where she wanted to be. So soon after that, she drops out and she starts doing a lot more like radio performances. And those performances were slowly starting to like travel through the island, and they were just bringing, they were bringing, it was bringing, estaba subiendo la reputación, like her reputation was starting to like to build up.
I like how you just said the same thing in Spanish and English.
I know. It just, it didn't sound right saying it in English.
Okay. Her brand and stuff.
Yeah, no, it just, you know, it brought more notoriety to who she was as a singer. So once she drops out of teaching school, she enrolls into the Havana National Conservatory of Music. Mm-hmm. But, however, instead of finding reasons for continuing on the academic track, one of her professors actually convinces her that she should just pursue music full-time.
I love that her professor's like, you in school, but like, get the fuck out.
Don't do this shit. This shit's like, it's not for you. You're just going to be wasting time.
Which is, I feel like that's very rare. We're always pushed to do school. So that's cool.
It's funny that
again, it is also a different time where just because you had a degree, it didn't have the same impact, I feel like, as it does now.
No. I feel like back in those days, you could really achieve things off of just the merit of being who you are. You know, like your work ethic and skill will speak for itself.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? So let me see. I lost track real quick. All right, so her first recordings were actually made in 1948. And in 1950, her singing career started its upward journey to stardom. So that's when she begins to sing with one of the celebrated Cuban orchestras known as La Sonora.
They're really famous.
I can't say the last part. So I'm not going to butcher it, but you look up Celia Cruz and the Sonora, and you'll find amazing music. So it's funny because initially there were doubts that she could successfully replace the previous lead singer and that a woman could sell salsa records at all. So there was doubt that she was even going to like...
Always doubting women. What am I telling you? Tsk.
And it's crazy, though, because she's like, to think, like, when you hear her sing, there's no doubt that she's talented.
Absolutely.
And there's no doubt that she could, like, you know, hold her own. So it's crazy that back in those days, they were actually doubting that skill and that ability. But, even though they were hating, doubting her, she still helped propel the group.
Even though they hating,
she was still able to propel that group and just the Latin music in general to new heights.
Interesting.
And I think after she joined the band, that's when they started touring worldwide, like through Central and North America, all throughout the 1950s.
Which is, again, crazy to me. This is like a worldwide artist that... As a Latino, you'd think we'd know more about. But we're never taught our history and our culture. And
it's crazy, though, because it's all there for us to learn, but we just don't... No one teaches it. We have to, like, really...
We don't know that it's... Well, it's there for us to learn, but I didn't even know how important it was, if that makes sense.
No. Facts. Hold on, we're getting off track. So now I want to talk about the commercial success that they had. Because at the time, in 1959, there was a communist takeover in Cuba.
So stop sounding like a robot.
My man Fidel Castro. What do you mean?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can't take you serious today. You're just down, bro. I'm over here trying to provide my people with good information. Now you good? You ready? Carla's a clown. All right, man. So
we ready.
Where was I, man? So Fidel Castro was acting up.
Fidel Castro, you gotta say in Spanish.
No. Castro was acting up, and a lot of the members of the band, decided to leave Cuba for good. So So la mayoría de ellos, they all kind of left. They started coming into the United States. And I think shortly after Cruz, she ends up becoming like a citizen of the United States in like 1969. You heard?
Mm-hmm.
So in 1961, not 69, she ends up becoming like a citizen. And that shit had Castro in Fogo now. He was so mad that he barred her from returning back to Cuba. So he exiles her from the state. She's not able to go see her friends. She can't see her family anymore. And she just keeps on doing her thing. She keeps on touring with Tito Puente, the orchestra, in the mid-1960s. And that's when she starts to, once she hooks up with Tito Puente, that's when she gains like a wider audience. And that's mainly because Puente had like a large following in Latin America already. And then when she joins his band, she now becomes like the new focus of the group because nobody had ever really like heard her, at least within that realm.
Yeah, I remember hearing or reading that one of her wishes before dying was to go back to her land of Cuba. And I think she died elsewhere, so she was never able to go back. So she never saw her family again.
That shit bugged out. That shit is so bugged out, man. I can't imagine that, like, being barred, like, from your own country.
Because that shit
kind of has me hot. It's
also about genres, too.
Yeah, it does, yo. All right. What else? Let me see. What else can I talk about? Because it's too much to talk about. There's so many, like, small little nuances about her. I know.
Let's.
Oh, shit, bro.
Look. Look, we have the same nose.
What happened? You're a clown. All right, but, yo, even despite all that shit, she just kept on doing her thing into the 70s and 80s. So she was, yeah. She was already, like, 40, 50.
And she...
is still getting it, making records. She had more than 75 records, including 23 of them that won gold. She won Grammy on top of Grammy on top of Grammy. She was in mad movies. She even earned the Hollywood Star of Fame. I think they even gave her an American National Medal of the Arts. So she's like decorated, especially early, like, you know, into her mid 50s.
Yeah, I was gonna say she's overlapping there with Selena in the 80s. And so you have
Asuka.
Celia living and doing this career, and then you have Selena maybe growing up in an era where this is one of the few women that were successful.
I wonder how much overlap they had, like as far as influence. I wonder if Celia influenced Selena somehow.
I think, like, even in a household, like, if you're growing up around that time, if you're growing up in the 80s and 90s, like, these are two artists that you listen to at home.
Nah, definitely. And Celia and the orchestra toured Mexico and Central America, those lugares. So I'm pretty sure the influence, like, starts to spread after a while.
Absolutely.
Bow. Hold up. What up? Damn, what? That's pretty much it. That's what I have right now. There's a lot of other stuff, like when Celia goes to New York and the Cuban, like, what they go when she's out there creating music and with all the salseros and shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Mira.
You good? You got it? Yo, you have any comments? You mad quiet today.
Because you told me to shut up earlier, so I shut up.
Nah, because I wanted to get through it because you was hating on me.
What are some comments that I have?
Like, yo, her music, her lyrics, the way she dressed.
Yeah, her music was
like
crazy.
She was a huge.
Are you gonna let me talk?
Nah, do you think?
You gonna let me talk? That's what I thought. Her music and the way she dressed, I always thought that was really interesting because she used a lot of colors and a lot of feathers and a lot of wigs. I don't think.
You know what I love though? She even had dresses that resembled the Cuban flag. Do your thing.
It was the first time I saw a singer using wigs as a perform, like as a professional performer for a salsa industry. Mm-hmm. Like for any industry, but especially for salsa. And when I think of wigs and when I think of like arts, like she's the main face of all of that for me.
That also, like, to me, it makes sense why she would win like a national art award, was because alongside like the lyrics, she also had the performance and the theatrics to go with it. Like she had the costumes and it was all just this, it was all this one like fluid production of creativity.
Absolutely.
You feel me? You have any other comments? What's up? That's all I got for Celia right now. Like, I don't want to keep drawing it out. You feel me?
No, absolutely. So, I think that's all we got for this episode, guys. But because I want to leave it on a positive note, I'm going to read one of my tarot cards.
Okay.
So something that I bought before all of this went to shit, right, with Corona and whatever, was this deck of cards that's called Super Attractor.
Super Attractor.
I know that we've talked in episodes previously about, you know, like our belief in paranormal stuff and energies and how our culture, you know, we have all these beliefs and these legends and stuff like that. So, because I will admit I am a little superstitious. I have friends that have tarot cards and I find them kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like my positive note before everything went to shit.
Let's hear. We're ready.
So I was at a bookstore looking at tarot cards. They had like a spiritual area with tarot cards. And I was like, this is so interesting. And there's tarot cards about ravens and animals and angels. And there's all types of stuff that I don't really understand. And I considered buying one. And then I was like, nah. Nah, B.
Nah, shorty. Shorty said, nah. We ain't having it.
I'm not going to get into all of that. So then I remember I walked to this first floor. I went down the stairs to the first floor of the bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting next to my mom and my stuff was a deck. And like the table behind it. And so
not creepy at all.
Oracle deck, I think it's called, which is called Super Attractor by Gabrielle Bernstein. I also heard she has a book that I have to buy, so it'll be cool.
Gabrielle, you already know, shorty.
So, send us money, Gabrielle. We're promoting you.
You already know, on Cash App, Too Cozy, 0904, I believe.
Too Cozy, you're taking my money? I'm doing the ad here. But it's basically like whatever you believe. It's the concept of the fact that whatever you believe in is what you will receive.
Mm-hmm.
And it has super really pretty cards and really cool messaging. So every week I try to just take out one random card and read it and reflect on what it means to me. And what's something positive that I can think more about. So today's card was actually one that says, I choose to be a super attractor and have unwavering faith in the universe. And just believing that if you believe that things will get better, they'll get better. And if you believe that things will get worse, they'll get worse. So
that's definitely like the law of attraction. What you put out into the world is what you get back, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a little bit like karma. Like
100%.
What goes around comes around.
And also what you think is what you manifest into the world. So if you go about your day just thinking and feeling negative, and just that's what you're going to attract is negativity. And if you feel like if you wake up in the day and you're like, yo, today's going to be an unproductive day, you're definitely about to have an unproductive day.
Yeah. So I just wanted to send out that positive message to you guys, my our followers, and Make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know below in the comments if you have any topics you want us to cover. And until the next one.
All right. Peace, y'all. Take care.